Maddie and Reeves are both faith leaders, and the following conversation reflects their standings and beliefs, not those of their place of employment. Hey friends, I'm Maddie, and just as a bit of information, I have had Jeffrey Bezos 1 and 2 from the Bo Burnham special stuck in my head for the last 2 weeks.
And I'm Reeves, and I can't stop singing the White Woman's Instagram from the Bo Burnham special.
And together, we host
the Oh God Podcast. Whoa! Okay. Oh, yikes. So we are a podcast trying to create space for people to ask questions about faith, about spirituality, for people to deconstruct their faith together and unpack maybe some of the harmful theologies that they've been taught and figure out how to view faith in a more inclusive and affirming way. So this is a community for all those people out there who feel like they are alone asking all the big questions in faith.
Welcome to a faith community here that redefines faith in a world that isn't as black and white as the church may make it seem. So a couple of weeks ago, I basically forced Reeves to watch the Bo Burnham special inside with me. Reeves, what were your thoughts?
So I will say I really wanted to watch it, but also everything I'd heard about it was that it is both funny, but also like really punches you in the gut. And so I knew it was something that I would not have watched on my own because I have a really hard time making myself watch like really serious, deep things alone. Unless it's like a super artsy indie movie. But if it's like something that's really talking about like commentary and like, yeah, you just have to, if you've watched it, you know what I'm talking about, but it like really kicks you in the face. I loved it. I really did. By the end of it, I had the feeling that I needed to book a therapy appointment, but also it really, I think, helped process through some things. He talks, you know, a lot about just kind of, I guess, experience like in quarantine and mental health. So it was really good and really powerful, but also definitely needed to journal after that. But also some amazing, funny songs like the White Woman's Instagram had me crying, the Jeffrey Bezos. Literally so funny.
Literally all I hear in my head anymore is, you did it!
You did it!
And I just, it's too good.
Yeah, so good.
No, I agree. I have been a Bo Burnham fan since like middle school.
Same.
And it's been fun to watch him grow as a person and to watch him translate that into like his art and his medium. I think the best way that I try to describe it is like, you know when you're having a conversation with someone about something like really heavy and that person uses an analogy to describe that thing that only someone else who has also been through that will understand and you laugh, but it's not like ha ha funny laugh. It's like that chuckle where you're like, yikes, I agree with that.
Yes.
That is like the humor of the show.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciated. And I think it definitely speaks to the fact that like how many people have connected to how just like difficult the last year was.
Yes.
So good.
And I don't even think, and we sat and talked about this for probably like an hour afterwards, but I don't think I let myself revisit how hard COVID was and how badly I needed to process some of that and like some of the, you know, mental health struggles I was going through. So for me, it was just like really healing, I think, to like, I don't know, laugh about it, but also like really sit and like talk about it. I highly recommend everyone watch it. It was so funny and so real. And I feel like that's, I don't know, just what I needed.
Yeah. I even think of That's How the World Works.
Yeah.
Where I was just you're like naming, where you like name all of these things and you're like just so over it. And the flow of the songs. And
it was so good.
The like thesis at the end.
Beautifully put together too. Yeah. Like, so good. Everyone go watch it. We'll all talk about it and cry about it together.
Truly, I would love because it is probably one of my favorite things that I've seen come out of quarantine.
So beautifully put together. Yes, absolutely. Totally agree. Also, we have yet to talk about the fact that we both got
another dog.
Yeah, like separately.
Like life just took off 0 to 60. And we're like, oh, we're actually now mothers of two.
Yeah, because we've both had second dogs for a while now. Like when did you get Maisie?
March, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's when we got Gecko. I guess we did get
them pretty close.
Maddie did, and I said, well, now I'm just kidding. We were both talking about it, but yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, we now have two more. So now I have Oscar, the Schnauzer Terrier, with who is very vocal and has all of the energy.
Yes.
And Maisie, who is a Spaniel mix, but I think she's a Corgi Spaniel mix. because she has that like log of a corgi body, but with like the cute little spaniel face.
She is like a little potato.
She is just a potato with legs. Yes. And she's the best.
She's adorable. Yeah. Also, I love that you said we both now have two, like, I don't remember how you phrased it, but you were like, we now have collectively two more dogs. And I was like, yes, our communal dog family. we are now all family.
Listen, yes. Every one of my friends who is in a committed, loving relationship, yes. most of which are married, I have just tacked myself on. Yeah. It's married with Maddie. I'm a part of the deal.
Honestly, Austin has referred to you as my other my other spouse.
Listen.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It is what it is, you know?
So we got a second dog. His name is Gecko, and he's hilarious. So we had been looking at getting another dog for a long time, but wanted a dog that was smaller than our golden retriever because two big dogs in our house would have been just deeply chaotic. Yeah. So it took us a really long time to find like a small one. He's kind of like a medium-sized dog. So he's like 30 to 40 pounds. Is like a collie mix. He's definitely some sort of herding dog, but we're not sure. He has kind of like Rottweiler coloring. He's so soft and deeply chaotic. He eats anything, chews on anything. He chewed up my Birkenstocks.
Oh no.
He is still a puppy, but whoever had him before us, he just didn't have a lot of structure. So he's still a puppy, so he has a lot of grace. And, you know, I think part of having a dog is just knowing that your stuff might not be safe. And so that's okay. He is learning, though, and there's been a lot of growth. And the fact that his name is Gecko, when I saw that, I was like, that will be the dog we're taking. I don't care. Just Gecko, to me, was the most hilarious name.
He is so sweet.
He
just is cuddly. I walked into the room the other day and he just immediately laid on his back and was like, you're going to pet me now, right?
Yeah. I think when he's around Sammy and vice versa, when Sammy's around Gecko, they get like absolutely insane around one another. But that's good. I mean, they're like best friends and that's what we wanted. But yeah, he can be pretty chill when you get him away.
I will say, having two dogs is the best decision I ever made.
Yeah.
Because they take care of each other.
Yes.
Like right now, Maisie and Oscar, they're out there doing their thing. Uh-huh. And I don't have to entertain one of them the entire time. Mm-hmm. And that part is really nice. And feeling like they have a friend and it's not like just me.
Right.
Because I was so concerned. I was like, Oscar's going to be so lonely when I have to start leaving my house.
Yeah. Yeah, it is like really fun. The reason we had talked about it was getting a friend for Sammy, and it's been sweet seeing how much they play with each other and how much they do get along. Woo, pups. Well, we wanted to like reaffirm really quickly or just like restate that our new Patreon tiers are actually now out. This episode should be what was that owl noise?
It was a woo.
I loved it. It sounded like an owl, like woo.
Who's gonna sign up for Patreon?
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
No, it was good. Never stop. Never change. Wear that outfit forever. Okay, so this episode should be coming out the first week of July if everything goes according to plan. So the new tiers are out now. If you want to engage with us in a different way and be a part of community, have access to things like exclusive videos. We'll also have exclusive merch designs that only our Patreons can buy. I always call them Patreons. You know who you are. So pals, we're so excited.
Yeah. The thing I'm the most excited about is that like in the process of starting this show, we had no idea what direction it was going to take.
Oh, not a single clue.
We like just really wanted to start finding ways to talk about questions that we were having, things that we were hearing. And what we've found along the way is this really amazing community looking for more ways to engage in conversation. And so we spent a lot of time talking to our current patrons, talking to people who were like potentially considering becoming patrons, talking to some of our friends who were doing things similar but in different spaces. And we put together multiple ways to connect and to engage. So regardless of where you choose to fall within the Patreon tier, you will always have access to our Discord and to monthly community calls because our number one priority is connecting people to one another and helping people find community as you navigate whatever process or stage you're in your spiritual journey.
Yeah. And we don't want that to ever be dependent on like finances.
Yeah.
Because also like if it's something where you want to be connected to this community and finances are an issue, like, please reach out. But we want to make sure that no matter where you fall, like, you have access to that community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then from there, like, we've got some really fun ways to connect. Some of my favorite things are, you know, certain tiers will have exclusive video content. So we've been putting together different
we've already started recording, types of videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so those groups will have access to that. Some will get access to our close friends list. So you'll have the ability to engage with us.
Yeah.
In a very different way from what we've had available in the past.
Yeah.
A space to, like, have scholarships for people who want to help other people engage. And then we've even got a space where you can start connecting with us for some, like, one-on-one coaching. So if you're processing a specific space and you want that additional layer of help or that additional layer of care in that process, like, we want to be available for that as well. So really, like, any way that we can make ourselves available as often as we can, we're trying to find a way to connect that through Patreon so that we can keep building out this community.
Yeah. Pumped.
Yeah. Wow. So, I'm very stoked.
Yeah. Today, we're going to be talking about hospitality. I know we're both, like, pretty pumped about this one because I think we both have a lot of, like, good ideas and have seen really good examples of how hospitality can and should, I would argue, look both in the church and just kind of, like, in our personal lives. So, yeah, why don't you take us away?
Heck yeah. I'm the most excited for this conversation because right now, like, Reebs and I, so we've touched on it in the past, but we both serve at the same church, and that church is in the process of reconfiguring a lot of our systems as we move back towards a post-COVID level of engagement. And hospitality is one area that we're really trying to intentionally reshape because it is a space that, you know, we both take a very different view of after, you know, having studied it a little bit longer, after having processed what it looked like digitally and then in person and what are our needs and our community's needs. And so we've been talking about this a lot, and I'm excited to find a way to translate it into this space. But for me particularly, I did a lot of work with, like, researching what different communities are looking for when they connect to a congregation. And that was really eye-opening for me in recognizing that, like, hospitality is not a one and done definition when it comes to the church, and that there are different sets of needs that need to be met in that space, which then opens the door to all of these conversations around what it actually is and what it could and should look like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, like, for me, I feel like growing up as a pastor's kid and moving around a lot, we were not always, or at least, like, I, as being, you know, I was in children's and then, like, youth, we weren't always, like, welcomed super warmly. Like, some churches did hospitality better than others. And I know my mom always encouraged us to, like, make those communities what we wanted them to be. So I feel like I learned hospitality in a very practical sense of, like, trying to make communities inviting because they were not inviting for me. So I know this is something that I'm very passionate about, is making people feel, or not making, forcing people to feel welcome.
You have to feel welcome.
Encouraging, you know, trying to foster, like, how do we best make people feel seen and known when they walk through a door? Because that's what it should be, you know, like, not, it is so painful to walk into a space and feel like no one even noticed that you were there. So.
Yeah. And one of the things I noticed building off of that thought is I began to recognize that a lot of the time when, like, things like mission or evangelism, like we've talked about previously, or hospitality are discussed, they're talked about in these very siloed kind of ways.
Yeah.
Like, hospitality is exclusively something that happens on Sunday morning and not a piece of this bigger picture of genuinely just what it means to live into your faith.
Yes.
And to create space for other people to do the same.
Yes.
And I think that is, like, one critique that I have of the way that I've seen it done in the past in various spaces.
Yeah.
Is, like, the definition I have pulled that I'll read in a second of hospitality sounds very different from what I think most of us think about.
Yeah.
When we talk about it. So a lot of my notes for this episode come from a book called See, Know, and Serve the People Within Your Reach. Mm-hmm. It's a book that I read in connection to information that I pulled for a service that we were starting to relaunch. And the information is gathered in a space called Mission Insight, which is a software that helps people trying to start new communities understand the needs of their communities and really break down demographically, like what's going on and how can you best serve your community. So this book helps explain a lot of what that information entails when you're reading it. But one of the things that they talk about extensively is hospitality. And so the definition that Bandy gives is that hospitality is all the ways the public is greeted, sheltered, nourished, connected to relationships, and introduced to congregational life before, during, between, and after worship services.
I love that.
It is so, like, there's so much to even just like pull apart in that one definition of how it overlaps with all of these other ideas.
Mm-hmm. Especially because we do have such a narrow-minded view in the church, I feel like, of what hospitality looks like. And that definition includes, you know, the fact that it's in between services. So like every day of the week, that it's how that entire community is greeted and nourished. I love that. Connected in relationships. Like that's just a really beautiful, comprehensive definition.
Yeah. And I think it encompasses like the entire identity of a space.
Yeah.
Like not just what happens. Do you have coffee available on Sundays? Yes. Is there someone at the door? Do you hand out bulletins? But like, when someone walks into your space, are they sheltered?
Yeah.
Like, is there a way for them to feel like that is a safe place for them and the identities that they carry? Mm-hmm. Are they invested and nourished? Like, are you creating opportunities for them to come and to plug in that are meeting their spiritual needs in that moment? Are you finding ways to plug them into congregational life all throughout the week? What service opportunities are available? Like, it's really, I think, this like very broad scope of, are you actually welcoming in and coming alongside people, or are you just ushering them in and out of a pew on Sunday morning?
Yeah. So one of the books we actually read, like you had us read as a team, Maddie, at the church that we work at, was it's called what, Shift 2.0? Mm-hmm. I think it's a book sort of on like hospitality and like reshaping like discipleship ministries and things like that. But one of the points that they made in that book was that we have this idea of the very specific things that we offer, like coffee, greeting people in the parking lot, those types of things, and how those things don't necessarily make people feel welcome, but when you don't do them, people feel unwelcomed, which I thought was a really good point of view. Is like hospitality shouldn't ride on those things, because that won't necessarily be the thing that like makes that person feel connected. It's the like interpersonal relationships. It's the seeing that person and remembering details about them and walking through life with them. But I just thought that was a really interesting, I'd never thought of it in those words, but like, yeah, if you don't have someone greeting me at the door, I'm going to feel less welcome. But if someone's there, I honestly probably won't even think about it. I'll just be like, oh, there's someone at the door greeting me. How kind.
Yeah. That, I love that, because it ties right back into, oh man, that Southern hospitality is creeping out. I know.
It ties so hard.
Oh, shucks. It ties right back into this like broader concept that I talked about a lot with some of my classmates, which is the idea that there are these basics that exist when we talk about like church hospitality, Sunday morning hospitality, that people just look for because they've always kind of existed as far as we can imagine church looking, like the very basic refreshments, bulletins, things like that. But then there's this space that most frequently is linked to people who identify in like younger age demographics, or anyone who holds a distrust of the institutional church, which is most of the people that like, you know, you're engaging with, which, you know, they're looking for what is kind of coined as this idea of like multiple choices. And so the idea behind this is people are going to walk into a space and they're going to see the bare bones, right? Like the very baseline basics of what it is that you're offering. But they're looking for that like next level of things, right? So they're looking for multiple ways to see or connect or engage with a church. And that's the thing that's going to keep someone wanting to join or participate in something over time, right? So in what ways are these people intentional in trying to make sure that I feel seen and safe and accepted in this space. And one of the things that they talk about also that I loved is that hospitality is not something we do naturally, but it's something we do intentionally.
Ooh.
And so the idea is like when I walk into any given space, if my goal is, you know, basic hospitality, I'm going to do what feels natural to me.
Yes.
So that's only going to connect with people like me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm intentional about making sure that we're offering different things, or there's different things happening or different groups happening, or language is being used in a way that's very inclusive and all encompassing, that's an intentional choice that I make to make sure that everyone feels safe in that space.
Ooh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's huge to make that delineation between like hospitality isn't necessarily going to feel natural. Like it's not going to be the natural thing that we want to do to make people feel welcome. Like it'll take a step out of your comfort zone, or in just like learning to like make people feel more welcome, to like go out of your way to like care for an individual or make an individual feel seen. I read this book a while ago, back when I was in college, with like the person who was mentoring me at the time. And it's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key.
Mm.
I want to say first, before like I really dive into some of her points, I love that book for the practicality of engaging in hospitality in your personal life. I don't agree with a lot of the theology in that book, but I think it is a great book for seeing practical ways of engaging hospitality in your personal life. And they have beautiful stories of how they open their home, you know, essentially around the clock, how they invite all of their neighbors over for dinner, like essentially every night of the week, like just really beautiful, vulnerable pictures of what hospitality has looked like in their day-to-day life with their family. And one of the things that she makes a point of is saying that we're not just like giving your spare time, but your very pricey time, because we're all busy. You're not going to get less busy. It's you going out of your way to give away the time that is already so pricey, which I think is, you know, such a beautiful example of it's not just like, oh, well, you know, whenever you happen to have a spare moment, it's you going out of your way to make that happen.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I feel like is often missing in some of the church communities that I've been a part of in my life, is that the spaces I've been in that have felt like that have also simultaneously felt disingenuous.
Yeah.
Or the spaces that felt more genuine lacked that hospitable piece.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know like what there is to say about that. Part of me wonders if, you know, that those moments where I felt like the hospitality was disingenuous, if that was because I like was also not necessarily aligning with them theologically. So it felt as though the only reason they were hospitable was because they were trying to evangelize to me or something, which in some cases is the case, right? Like people abuse the word and do it with like malintention. But I think on the flip side of that, just because we're in a culture that is so individualistic,
yes,
when we think about what it means to walk into a faith space and have people be truly and authentically hospitable,
yeah,
it's an uncomfortable thought.
Yes.
And I think part of that is because we're always second guessing, at least for me, like I'm always second guessing motives.
Yeah.
You know, and like very on the lookout for, you know, what is this actually about until I feel comfortable. Which is also something people need to be aware of, that people are watching and gauging how genuine you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and part of me wonders too, like most of the conversations that we end up having around hospitality are very structured around like an institutional sense of hospitality, because we're working in a church. So like, what does our programming look like? What does whatever look like to feel like it's welcome? But it doesn't always feel like that is translated really well into like the people moving forward. Like you have some people who are naturally hospitable, and so they kind of in some ways like carry the team and making sure that everyone feels welcome. Well, I don't know, like, is there a way to genuinely convey hospitality without it having a double motive?
I know when I was in college, I was a part of a ministry that specifically worked with freshmen, so like incoming freshmen, things like that. And before I had gone to college, I'd heard like really amazing things about it. And then when I went, I remember it being this room. There was only like maybe 15 people in the room. And I actually knew a lot of them individually, like before from a camp that I had worked at. Mm-hmm. I remember me and one of my friends walked in the room. And even though there were only 15 people in there, the entire hour we were there, not a single person talked to us. And it was like a small room. It was like, I know you know I'm here and haven't been here before. It was so weird. I remember me and my friend who came with me, after we walked out of that space, we were like, that was awful. Like, we knew people in that room. We had worked with them together, like at a camp. And they didn't say like a single word, didn't welcome us. Long story short, I ended up like going on leadership with that ministry because I'm someone that like when I see something broken, I really like want to fix it. And I think part of that comes from we had been at so many churches when I was younger where we didn't have that hospitality piece. So I saw that and I was like, no, this has to change. So one of the things that we worked on and I talked a lot with the person who was on staff with that ministry was just like, how do we make it like hospitable? And I feel like it's hard when it comes down to like intentions, because that's really hard to gauge. But I know one of the things we did and I always try to do is just like teaching people how to ask questions and how to listen. I feel like is a really basic thing of like teaching people who are on leadership or who are volunteers to like, you know, be on the lookout, like be really intentional. I don't think it's inauthentic if you're trying to look for like who's new in the room. And just being aware of like, okay, I've never seen that person before. And then going up and asking them questions and then responding back to those questions. I don't think everyone naturally like is inclined to do those things. But again, I don't think hospitality always comes with our natural comfortability. So I think in those cases, like it is okay to do some like training on how to best be like hospitable or like what are good questions to ask if you're not the most like friendly or like social person. And I think some of that comes down to gifting too, right? Not everyone's going to be hospitable, but that's why we've got other people who are like really good at it.
Yeah. Well, I also think that's where we can remember that like hospitality is often very multifaceted.
Yeah.
And it's almost something that you live into over and above like a programming you roll out. So like where a more outgoing person might be hospitable and that they want to have conversations, someone else might be the person like behind the scenes, just making sure all the pieces are there for that to happen. Right.
Absolutely.
But one of the things I've noticed a lot is like the more we engage with conversations around what it looks like within congregations to try to like increase what it and change what we think it means to be a welcoming or like hospitable space, it's really kind of pushing the idea that this is just like a way that you kind of live in the world, right? Like the way that you connect to other people, your openness to having conversations and meeting new people and making them feel welcome around you, and kind of affirming that people are loved based off the way that you engage with them, like those are all ways that we can just kind of exist in the world, which I think helps when we're having conversations with people, because it's like your natural giftings can be used to just be overarchingly more welcoming to people. You don't have to learn 100 new skills. There are ways that we can like help you grow in that, but that's just growing you as a person versus this kind of inauthentic like training you to speak to someone exclusively to keep them in this space.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a good point of like, it really is, it should be like a way of being as opposed to like, hospitality isn't just what happens on a Sunday morning as you're greeting someone at the door. Like hospitality, I feel like as, you know, people of faith, it should just really be like your way of life of like, you know, being open to engaging with new people, being open to like having conversations and caring for people and showing up for people as they're grieving or as they're walking through hard things. And instead of it just being like a once a week type of cheery, let's get this person to come back, you know?
Yeah. Well, and even thinking about that description, to me, like living a life that is hospitable is also a life that's very justice oriented. You know, like if this idea of really intentionally creating a space for all people to authentically exist is kind of the basis for this. And that also means that like your church community needs to be out actively making sure that your community is a hospitable place for all people. And I think, you know, that's one of the things when I look at, you know, congregations that I want to participate in or like spaces that I want to plug into, I'm looking for more than just the like bare bones offerings. It's like, mm-hmm. what does this congregation do? What do they value? Mm-hmm. How do they show up for people? Because that's going to be reflected in the way that they preach and the theology that they push, in the ways that they accept me or accept my friends or whatever that looks like. And so I think, you know, I wish that more spaces took this space more seriously, because I think this is like that first line of engagement that most people have mm-hmm. with a congregation. They're looking at how you're treating yeah. them and their friends in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so good. I feel like it is 1000% tied to social justice and just like how you are partnering with God in the work that they're already doing in a community. And I really feel like hospitality is seeing the humanity in other people and seeing the needs and trying to like meet those needs or at least address those needs. Mm. I think sometimes we're just scraping the surface yeah. on hospitality.
And that's what makes it so hard to, I feel like when people are like trying to engage in different churches, it all feels very surface level.
Yeah.
And so when you're looking for that next thing or you're looking for that next connection, it feels difficult to find it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I have several questions, but how do you feel like people can practically live out hospitality as individuals? Like, what do you feel like are some, I don't know, just practical ways?
Yeah. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I'm recognizing more and more as we explore what it looks like to create hospitable spaces is that this is kind of the way in which we live into the overlap between evangelism and mission that we mm-hmm. talked about previously, right? So evangelism being, you know, what is the good news to you mm-hmm. in your faith? What is that? And how do you convey that to other people? And mission being kind of what is it that you feel drawn to is that space for you to live out kind of your faith or live into that good news that you're sharing with people. And I feel like hospitality is the practical means of living into that space, right? Mm-hmm. So I think one of the first things to think about is like, what is it that I believe to be the good news about this faith that I carry within me?
Yeah.
And I think once you identify that, it's like, okay, so then how am I living into that?
Yeah.
How am I engaging with my friends and just like the ways that I'm showing mm-hmm. up for them? How am I showing up for myself? Are there spaces where I need to like do some inner work or have like more extensive emotional healing or do some emotional work so that I am able to hold space for the needs of others without it feeling like an additional burden on my own needs? Are there spaces I feel drawn to show up and am I showing up? You know, yeah. I think hospitality to me feels like the practical means of living into your faith. Yes. So the more Ooh. You engage mm-hmm. your faith and whatever that looks like for you, the more you're going to see spaces where you're kind of feeling called to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever really thought about that before, that hospitality really in so many ways, and I feel like I'm going to have to think about this more, but in so many ways is like faith in action. Mm. But I feel like we're often taught that hospitality is just like how you greet a new person into a physical space. Whereas I feel like it's so much broader than that, you know? And yes, it is very tied to church, but I feel like that's because it's just so deeply tied to faith. And when we think about just sort of the roots of where Christianity came from, I mean, it was a religion that spoke to the people who were poor and oppressed because it spoke, I mean, women, the mm-hmm. poor and impoverished, widows, orphans, like those were people who very deeply identified with Christianity early on mm-hmm. and who were converted at larger numbers. I had to read this book when I was in one of my religion classes called The Rise of Christianity. And it literally looked at, you know, Christianity maybe 200 years after Jesus like had died and how Christianity started to rise into a world religion, right? So one of the biggest catalysts was the fact that when the plagues were hitting really, really hard in like the Roman Empire and like after Rome fell, when those plagues were like running through that area, it was Christians who were taking people off the street and caring for them in their homes. Mm. It was Christians who were nursing people back to health. Like that was like, you can look back historically and it was Christians who kept people alive. And so once people had healed and recovered, the church grew a lot because people were like, their families were dead, but Christians had cared for them and put their safety on the, you know, sidelines to make sure that these people lived just out of the goodness of their hearts and out of the good news that they believed. And in that, and I just see that as a really good example of, you know, that is where we came from, in this really powerful act of hospitality, of laying yourself aside and like putting your faith into practice and being like, I believe this thing so much and I believe this person is so innately valuable that like I will care to them to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. I think, oh, Reeves, that'll preach. I think so many things about that. I love that because I think that's also, you know, a lot of what churches talk about is, you know, wanting to develop communities growing more like Christ, right?
Yeah.
And I think Christ is just inherently hospitable. And so as we grow more like Jesus or model our lives more like Jesus, we become and we grow into this like lived, active faith space where our hospitality is a piece of who we are. And that can happen in an institutional congregation that's done well, but that can also happen outside of the walls of the church and outside of the institution of the church and still hold value and still be seen as an act in alignment with who Christ is.
Yeah.
You know, I think the reason we identify it so much with what we hope to see the church be is because the church is supposed to be modeling after Christ.
Yes.
Now, whether or not it does all the time is, you know, a conversation all of us have all of the time. But I think when the people are living into that space and practicing their faith, you are inherently authentically hospitable.
Yeah.
Because you genuinely care about the person that you're coming into contact with. A critique that comes up a lot in this conversation and one that I also carry is, I think because there is overlap between hospitality and evangelism, we stop genuinely caring about the person we're coming into contact with. And we exclusively use that word as a way of pushing people into our buildings, but we don't create all of the spaces necessary for them to feel like they are being actually aided and supported in this community.
Yeah.
And so I think the number one thing to always ask ourselves and to ask of the churches that we're a part of is like, what is the genuine intention behind every piece of like hospitality under that umbrella, every piece of that that we do? And if there's any intention outside of authentically wanting someone to feel welcome and safe in that space and really wanting to convey that this is a place that they can find community, then I think it's worth reevaluating.
Absolutely. And that makes me think of, we just had a conversation or a previous episode about mega churches. And one of the critiques I saw a lot is that they just care about, you know, like butts and seats or like how many people are there. But also one thing is that a lot of mega churches do hospitality really well in the sense of getting people in the door. And I think that feeling of, you know, really welcoming people, being kind of like flashy, you know, just like getting people in the door and like feeling welcomed. And, but I feel like that's where that conversation needs to continue of like how, you know, genuine is that hospitality happening. But also one example I had found when we talked about mega churches was, and I forgot to include, was there's a guy named Chuck Smith who was a really big name, like mega church pastor that kind of came out of the like 60s in the 1960s. And he was really well known for getting a lot of like hippies to come into the church because they changed their style of worship. They made those people feel welcome. They didn't require you to wear like shoes. Like they made it a much more free and open space for that community. And so they saw their church grow a lot. And so anyways, I just think that that's an interesting thing to think about is, you know, how genuine is the hospitality? Like you're getting people in the door and that's awesome. So there's probably something there that's really good.
Right.
But then how well are you continuing that hospitality?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think at the end of the day, like you said, like it is your faith put into action, and that can exist
any anywhere of size. Yeah.
And it should be existing in our churches.
Because I think a critique often of like smaller churches is sometimes they're really clicky because you haven't seen a lot of growth and a lot of like new people. And so it becomes really hard to get new people in the door. And I feel like churches in general, a conversation I've seen happen at every church I've ever been at is, how welcoming are we being? Or every church I've ever been at has some sort of like hospitality committee. And yeah, I think that that's just a constant struggle. But remembering that it's really like when we are authentic, the coffee is great. The donuts are awesome. Like those things should be continued because not having them would send a sign. But it also needs to be the other things of like us individually seeing people and remembering people and like opening conversations and having that relationality and carrying that hospitality out of the doors of the church.
Yeah. Yeah, great conversation. One of the things we touched on last episode and we kind of touch on again in this one is that we totally recognize that some within our community are looking for faith communities to plug into, which we totally get and support, and some are not, which we totally get and support.
Yeah.
I think with this conversation, one of the things that I recognize is that this idea of living a hospitable life is more universal than just a church.
Yeah.
And so on one hand, if you are looking for ways to continue expanding upon what hospitality looks like in your life individually, we would love to be in conversation with you about that. And if you are exploring different churches or spaces that you might want to plug into and you want some support as you begin to ask questions you might not have asked previously, know that we want to support you in that as well. Like one of my favorite parts of this show and of this community truly is the conversations we end up having with people. And so much of that is just like, hey, I'm navigating this space and I would love some advice or some support. And I know both of us would love to give that. So as you kind of move forward, A, hospitality is not exclusively bound to a church. So if you are looking for hospitable communities, we encourage you to seek those out and to reach out if you need support in that.
Yeah.
And to know that, you know, the ability to make someone feel loved and welcome is something each of us carry inside of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Please, just to like reaffirm what Maddie is saying, if you're going through things or need support and encouragement, like we love that is as well. My favorite part of this is getting to have the conversations with other people out there who are really struggling, because it is hard to go through these questions alone. It can be deeply lonely and isolating, and we want to be there any way we can. And so please always feel free to message us on our Instagram at ogodpod. That is where we have a lot of those conversations, as well as if you're on, if you're in Patreon, like put that stuff in the Discord or like personal message us. But that is the best part of this. And that's why the reason we're doing this is to build community so people don't feel isolated. So friends, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok at ogodpod. And please like and rate and review anywhere you listen to a podcast. If you listen on Apple, that helps us get really good ratings if you rate us and leave us a nice little message.
And if you do that, thank you. If you have done it, thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Our big hope is that we can get as many people plugged into this community as possible. Yeah. And when you do those things and follow us and like and share and subscribe and review, like all that does is push us further out so that more people can find us and can connect. And that is like the best way to support what we're doing here.
My big dream is to be on the top of the Christian podcast.
It would be so sick.
Let's pass out the Joel Olstein and I forget. There's like one or two that always switch back and forth on being the top ones, but the most Sadie of them Robinson are like older men. Yeah. We do have Sadie Robinson in there, I guess, but let's
lap.
Let's knock them all out in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
We love you guys.
Yeah. Oh God.
Bye.
Bye.